Good morning. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we, servants of the Most High God, rejoice in our position, and we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to serve you. We pray today, Lord, that we will be inspired and motivated by Daniel to do likewise, that no matter what our predicaments are, that you will be there with us, saving us, shutting the mouths of the lions, and delivering us. So, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, our story today is one that most of us have heard many times since we were children. You know, and perhaps to the extent that we see it as that, a story, we need to approach it as true and speaking to our situation personally and our worlds. God is God. We are to worship none other. We are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, souls, and minds. Daniel is a true example of doing just this. So today, let us approach this story in just this way, recognizing it in its truth, worth, and value, thus allowing it to impact us to be like this servant Daniel in his fear and love for God. We begin our journey into this story finding Daniel, who has just been promoted by King Belshazzar of the Babylonians as the third highest ruler in the kingdom. He had been summoned to explain some writing that had appeared on the wall during a very wild party that the king was holding. The king's error was that he worshipped other gods and defied God by desecrating the sacred vessels. Surprisingly, Daniel's alarming interpretation and prophecy to the king invoked this promotion. That very night, the interpretation came true. King Belshazzar was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. King Darius appointed 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. Now, you may wonder, as I did, what a satrap was. So to clarify this, let me explain how the Persian Empire worked. They connected their empire through miles of roads. There were 20 provinces called satrapies, ruled by satraps. Their job required them to be tax collectors, judges, chief of police, and overseeing recruiting for the Persian army. A rather demanding job description, wouldn't you agree? Daniel, as usual, gained so much favor with Darius due to his extraordinary character that he planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. It is important to note that the inhabitants of the region included the Jewish exiles who were placed in high positions through the favor of God that God had given them over the years while they were there. As we have been learning, God has been using Daniel and other Jewish exiles to witness to the different kings who ruled over them during their exile in the region. I think this is a very important statement to Christians today, because we live among many non-believers. Our faithfulness to God, treatment of other people, and refusal to worship the other gods speaks volumes to them. Now let's see, how will that be demonstrated by Daniel in our story today? Well, unfortunately, jealousy invades the camp of some of the other satraps and commissioners. Here is an exile, Daniel, who is, word has it, going to be promoted and be over them. Well, forget that. They won't allow that to occur, not on their watch. So they put their heads together and tried desperately to find something that they could accuse Daniel of in government affairs, but come up empty. Then they looked for evidence of corruption, but doggone it, he was too faithful, and there was none to be found. So as they continued their search, they realized there was only one place they could find grounds to make substantial accusations against Daniel. It would be regarding the law of his God. They got busy and came up with a plan to use this against him. Now, some of the commissioners and the satraps agreed with this plan and went to King Darius with their findings. Note how they butter him up and sandwich their plan. They said, "King Darius, live forever." Then they proceed to tell him that all the appointed leaders have been talking and agreed that he should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who petitions another god or man besides Darius for 30 days should be cast into the lion's den. Of course, it wasn't true that all the satrap had discussed this, because Daniel knew nothing about their plan and was highly valued by the king. They deceived Darius by leading him to believe all the satraps were in agreement about this plan. They encouraged the king to sign the document to establish it. Thus, it couldn't be changed or revoked according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. Now, I have to say, we quote that so many times for this, that when I was practicing and going over this, I wanted to come up with the law of the Medes and the Persian, the law of the Medes and the Persian. Don't put a beat to it. But anyway, I didn't. The king was basically seen as God. What he said was law. It must be followed. King Darius signed the decree, the injunction. Well, why shouldn't he? It showed their respect and honor for him as king. He was king, and the people shouldn't worship otherwise. What does Daniel do when he gets the news that the decree had been published? He prays. He went home and did what he had been doing all along. He went to his upstairs room where the windows were open toward Jerusalem. He did this as they had been told to do long ago in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 38, by King Solomon in his dedication to the temple. It says, "And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity, where they were taken, and pray toward the land you gave their fathers, toward the city you have chosen and toward the temple I have built in your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their pleas and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you." So evening, morning, and noon he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. The same men who had gone to Darius now went to Daniel's home to spy on him. Sure enough, they found him making his petitions to his God. So they went back and discussed the royal decree with Darius that they had recommended that he make. They asked him if he had published his decree that for the next 30 days, anyone who petitioned any other god or man but the king would be thrown into the lion's den. See, they were making sure there was no error in their plan to rid themselves of Daniel. Darius must have really trusted his satraps, because I think by now as a teacher, I would have wondered if my students were up to something. Not surprisingly, Darius tells them what they wanted to hear. The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. This made the way for these jealous men to initiate their plan. And don't you find this frustrating? Here, Daniel, a faithful man of God, is going to be fed to the lions. Why? Because of human nature: jealousy, greed, power seeking, and control. As usual, though, God already had a plan in making. He knew the heart of the key players, Daniel and Darius. So the jealous satraps joyfully tattle on Daniel. "Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you. O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times. Well, as soon as King Darius heard this, he was deeply troubled. Do you think perhaps he felt tricked, disappointed in his leaders because of their cruel intent? Yet, I found it comforting when it said he was determined to find a way to save Daniel. Unfortunately, Darius was not going to be able to save him. He had signed the decree, and there was no clause in it to give him a way to save him. His hands were tied. Still, he made every effort until sundown to do so. At that time, those men returned, reminding Darius that Daniel's verdict was irreversible. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, any law or decree published by him could not be changed. They knew they had him at an impasse. He had to throw Daniel in the lion's den. It makes you thankful for our form of check and balances in our government today. Consequently, he sent for Daniel. Daniel was brought in and thrown into the lion's den. The lions placed in the den were hungry and waiting for their next meal. Now, Darius makes a profound statement about Daniel's God. He says, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." Wow, good for King Darius. I don't know if his statement was one of faith or hope, but either one was a pleasant surprise. It shows us he had been watching Daniel. He knew good and well that Daniel was not serving him. He was serving his God, and he didn't have a problem with it. At this point, a stone was brought and laid over the opening of the den. There was no means of escape for Daniel. The king sealed the opening with his signet ring and his nobles' signet ring so that nothing could be changed regarding Daniel. The verse I would have shared with Daniel and King Darius at this time would be that of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. "No test has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. But with the test will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." Another verse would be what Joseph said or told his brothers after their father's death. He told them, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result." Genesis 50, verse 20. So King Darius leaves and goes to his palace. He spent the night fasting, receiving no form of entertainment, and it says his sleep fled from him. He was distraught about his predicament, and especially Daniel's. I don't know about you, but I know I've had some nights like King Darius had that very night. Nights when things seemed hopeless, and all I could do was cry out to the Lord and wait for his reply, hoping for a means of escape. A needed answer. I, like Darius, wanted the answer now, some sign or something to assure me, comfort me, that everything was going to be okay. Like Darius, I must wait on God's timing. I think sometimes it must be hard for God to restrain himself from delivering us right on the spot, answering our prayer right away, bringing that means of escape as we are praying. You know, when you consider the great love that he has for us. I know from experience, though, how important God's timing is. His timing reasons are trustworthy. Trust me. This is another reason why it is so important to meditate on God's word. Memorize those scripture verses that speak to your situation and thank the Lord for answering your prayer about this matter as much as you need to. I regret that my nights were not always like Daniel's. We find that he, on the other hand, had an extremely different experience. As we return to the story the next morning, we find the king running. Let me correct that. At dawn, the break of day, he ran to the lion's den. And what did the king find? We hear the king cry out with a very troubled voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Listen to his words. He refers to God as the living God. Yet he does vacillate between his hopes and fears. Daniel answers him with the very same greeting our villains had used previously. "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him and toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." The king, overjoyed, ordered Daniel to be removed from the den. When they removed him, there was no injury whatsoever to be found on him. Why? Because he trusted in God and he put God first. In turn, King Darius gave orders, and those who in jealousy and hate accused Daniel were brought to the lion's den with their wives and children and thrown in. They didn't even touch the ground before the lions devoured them. Darius now makes a proclamation to all of his land that all people are to fear and tremble before Daniel's God. This is what he says about him. Yes, you got it, Emmy. "For he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will live forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Isn't it notable that Darius doesn't credit Daniel with this miracle? He knows good and well who saved Daniel from the lions. It was the living God. This too is notable, for the gods they worshipped were not living and unable to deliver as Daniel's had. This is our God. He is still living, delivering, rescuing, and performing signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He is not a small God. He is one that all people are to fear and tremble before him. Our Lord delivers at the right time. His timing will not only answer your prayer, but who knows how many other people. It says that Daniel enjoyed success in Darius's reign and Cyrus the Persian. Why? Because he trusted in God and served him in all that he did. His actions so testified to Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and Cyrus that his God became theirs. Now, in closing, I want you to put your name in this blank. Your name, servant of the living God, emphasis on living, has the God whom you serve constantly been able to deliver you? He isn't going to stop now. Trust me. Please join me in prayer. Lord, how can we be humble like Daniel so that people see, know, and believe in you because of our actions, because of the way that we treat others, the way that we speak, the way that we flat out function. Lord, we need your help. Holy Spirit, we need you to empower us, to change our hearts, to put us on fire for you, to put aside our excuses and expecting the non-believers to act like we're supposed to. Lord, forgive us and empower us to be your hand extended to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.